アナザーレッドポッドキャスト。
What? What? Sounded like a dying whale.
What the hell, Nick?
Yeah, it's like a perfect fucking B flat.
Hey guys, check out this new trombone I bought.
Stassi, you should Stassi, hang on a second. I got a really good idea. You should take that audio sampling and like mix it in with like the jazz that you're gonna play on the, like, you know what I'm saying?
In the end.
Like I really don't know what note it is, but there's surely a note that's like on key with, and it's jazz, so you can kind of, you know what I mean? And just like kind of intersperse it in the middle of like whatever song it is.
Yeah.
So if it's like the one at the end, it's like,
all right, my coffee's ready. Let me go fix it.
Okay. Oh, great.
Cool. Are we podcasting?
No, no. I can't wait for like the fucking 20,000 pages of notes he's going to put up tomorrow about stuff that we need to do to save time on editing.
So the point that I was trying to make is that we know for almost for sure that the Bengals and the Dolphins are going to get Tua and Burrow in whichever order. I'm sure the Bengals are going to get Burrow and then the Dolphins will get Tua. Who else out of those four teams, Arizona, Tampa Bay, Washington, and the Giants, who is going to be looking for a quarterback? I mean, obviously the Giants aren't. So. And we can take the Cardinals out. So between the Bucks and the Redskins, who goes for Herbert, the guy from Oregon?
If I had to guess, I would say he ends up in Miami or Washington. I don't think I don't know what the deal is in Tampa Bay, but I just really enjoy watching Jameis play, and I have a hard time believing that they're going to cut him. You know what I mean?
I don't know, man. I think he's mentally damaged now.
He's physically and mentally damaged. He has his mouth open like 99% of the time when he's playing football. He just looks like he's crazy. You know, like the way he doesn't run gracefully at all. He's just like just hobbling down the field, just heaving it up in the air to who knows, you know.
He looks like he's been kidnapped and held captive for 5 years. It's just completely worn him down. He's not the same person.
Darnold's ghost seemed like they went over to Jameson, man.
Jameis is a ghost. Dude, it's really
Jameis is so in. Fucking exciting to watch, though. He's exciting to watch. Like, Tampa Bay games are fun because of him.
Yeah, but have you seen, like, his reaction to his play week by week over the past 6 years, 5 years?
It's just that wide-eyed stare.
It's just a slow, dwindling digression of a man just completely.
Yeah, he's losing his fucking mind. Losing his fucking mind. What little he had is he's losing it rapidly. But I just
that's
don't,
what worries me about him. That's why I include them in the discussion.
I don't know. I don't know. He's really fun to watch, though.
It's a fresh start.
He's like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're gonna get.
I think he has 19 interceptions.
Yeah, bring Jameis to Denver.
No.
No.
Well, he is tall enough that John Elway would take him.
Yeah. Heisman winner.
He only likes tall guys. But I don't know.
Why not? I like him too, man. I just think
that I just think that if he can't do it in Tampa with that receiving core, he can't do it anywhere.
Well, like I was telling you guys before the podcast, I was there at the game and it just reminded me being in that environment of what Saints games felt like before Breeze and Peyton. It felt hopeless. They were making fun of the quarterback. It just seems he's done there. Like, I don't know if you can win the fan base back. It sure didn't seem like anyone there cared for him.
No, but like, I don't know. My, like I said, I think it was last podcast. I think Miami might go for one of the vets, you know, because they have so many picks and assets, man. They might just want to just build around somebody that's going to have like 5 years left. And,
well, who do you think that would be?
Well, it could be Ben Roethlisberger, you know, like I said, it could be Cam Newton. I think Philip Rivers, I think they might be done with him. Because he's also throwing a lot of interceptions.
He might be done.
I don't think he's done. But it's not jiving well with...
But with all the good up-and-coming quarterbacks, man, why waste picks and everything on somebody who... I mean, all the great quarterbacks right now in the league, they're getting up there in age and stuff-wise. And some of the younger quarterbacks who are doing really well, you're not going to pull them from some of those teams, man, because there are those teams. They're making those teams win and having good franchises. So it'd be hard to pull a good quarterback from any team right now, man.
Well, there's something to be said about a known quantity versus an unknown quantity, you know? Bird in the hand versus two in the bush. So
yeah,
you can draft a guy and you never know how it's going to turn out, you know? Like, you might pick a guy...
Like Trubisky.
Say, for instance, I was going to say, yeah, like say, for instance, like Mitch Trubisky, who you have a lot of confidence and hope in. And, you know, in so doing, you might have passed over a couple guys like a Pat Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. Ended up with Mitch Trubisky because he was, you know, he was the guy you wanted. And, you know, how was that turning out? They traded away... two first rounders, a third rounder, a fourth rounder for Khalil Mack, and the Bears have the same number of sacks as the Raiders do. Nobody's laughing at John Gruden anymore. I'll point that out. They might actually make the playoffs, and that team is on the up and up.
Maybe.
You got a great coaching staff with John Gruden. You know what I mean? You got somebody who knows what it takes. He's building a team. He's not just taking a team and going with it. He knows what he wants. He's, man, some of the things that he's doing with some of these players, he's making them believe in themselves, man. And on some of these losing teams, you don't have coaches that do that. Like, even with Trubisky.
Yeah.
The coach ain't telling him he's doing great. He's sitting there fucking chewing his ass out because he's fucking sucking it up.
Well, Nagy benched him, which is like... Yeah.
No, man, it was a hip injury.
No, but that's like, it's almost like he's like throwing him under the bus.
Well, yeah. You know?
Like, Nagy's, it's clearly he's at fault for all this because he's the coach, you know? Everything is within his purview. So, him benching Trubisky at the end and putting in Chase Daniel was just like really, man? Like, it's your job to develop this guy. If he's not
like some
guy,
of their play calling.
I mean, hold on. That doesn't mean you're not developing your quarterback because you benched him. That is a move for developing your quarterback. It's called a reality check.
Yeah, but I think it has more to do with him not being really good with the media and just if the optics of it, right? Like, Trubisky's playing terrible all game. That made it. It may have been to do with the game plan, the play calling, you know, the things under his control. And it might not necessarily be to do with Trubisky's talents in general. So, him, you bench Trubisky, you put in Chase Daniel in the end. You know Chase Daniel is not any better. You know he's not the long-term answer. So, like, what does the benching really do other than kind of deflect blame? Like, oh, Trubisky had a terrible game, he got benched. As opposed to Matt Nagy is a terrible coach. And that was coach of the year last year. I don't know what the fuck happened.
Well, I'll tell you what happened. Like I said, I don't like their offense at all. Just from a roster standpoint, like, just think it's trash.
It's got some nice pieces, though, man.
Dude, they're fucking middle of the mall fucking pieces, okay? If you want to fucking put that together on a team and say, oh, it's nice once you bunch them all together, then sure, but...
Okay, you know what Tariq Cohen would look like on the Saints?
Sure.
Or the Patriots.
Yeah, but the Saints also have everything else already. So to say that, Like, let's take the Bears offense and put it in Sean Payton's hands. I think that would be a fair question to ask me.
Okay.
It would not be as prolific, I can tell you that.
I think it would be way better.
It would be better
than the current Saints roster, the Bears roster.
Yeah, the Bears would have a better record if Sean Payton was coaching the Bears.
Oh,
if Kyle Shanahan was coaching the Bears, they would have a better record.
Yeah.
If any good offensive mind was coaching the Bears, they kept the other, like the defense is fine, whatever. If a good offensive mind was coaching the Bears and calling plays, they would have a better record.
There's only one guy I would say, if like Sean Payton coached that team, the one guy that you had the game plan for is Tariq Cohen. Everybody else, you can cover. So I still think they're not, you know.
No, no way, man. Because, okay, look at the tight ends that, now granted there's Drew Brees, right? That's, yeah, you can't.
It's huge.
You can't compare the two. But
the greatest regular season quarterback, him and Peyton Manning.
But look at, like, Trey Burton would be a stud on the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
He would. So would Allen Robinson. Yeah. Allen Robinson is a stud, but he would be prolific on the Saints. Top five receiver for sure.
Mm.
I agree. No. He's got great hands.
No.
Excellent hands.
Ball, no.
Excellent hands.
Okay, what is Michael Thomas
really good at? Take the list out. Take the list out and then tell me that you legitimately believe that. I mean, that's ridiculous, man.
What is Michael Thomas really good at?
Dude, Michael Thomas is really good at dedicating himself to the game of football. He's so good at it that the Saints have to keep tabs on him and make sure he doesn't overtrain. That's why.
I mean,
catch rate. He has the highest catch rate of all time. He is historically on pace to be the greatest wide receiver that has ever lived.
He's great at catching balls.
Yes.
Yeah. He doesn't have he's not like Megatron or anything like that. You know, he's not Gronkowski, like just
sure, but he still understands how to get open using the tools that he does have.
Yeah, he's an excellent route runner, but he's not the fastest guy on the field.
Bro, like he's in really good shape. I'm with you. I don't think he is a top tier athletic wide receiver, but he more than compensates because he literally does the best he can. I mean, by all reports,
my point is that this. I'm not trying to say Michael Thomas is worse than Allen Robinson. He's better. You know, I agree.
Vastly.
But Allen Robinson in the hands of somebody like Sean Payton in an offense like Sean Payton's, or just take him out, you know, Shanahan. Any good coordinator.
Right.
Any good offensive mind. Josh McDaniels. Allen Robinson's going to flourish. If he was on the Patriots, he'd be great. They would love to have him.
Okay.
Because they're in desperate need of a wide receiver.
I don't think they're as desperate as people lean on. This happens every year, dude.
No, Patriots receiving core is not.
What?
Let's look at it then.
What are you talking about?
Don't ask me. Ask Tom Brady.
Dude, Nikhil Harry.
He agrees.
Nikhil Harry, Julian Edelman, and Mohamed Sanu is going to be your three wideout sets. Nikhil Harry's only been back for 2 weeks. He's your first round draft pick. They are going to be fine. This happens every year. You know what he also said in that interview to start off all that before people came and grabbed little bits out of that? He said, I have football anxiety every year at this time. And it's true. People always say, well, Gronk's going to be out for like 6 weeks. So how are they going to figure it out this week? Guys like Hogan, like Kevin Hogan, nobody even knew who that was before. He comes in, he has five great games, and he goes away. No one ever hears from that guy again. It's fine. They'll be fine. It's overblown. And that's how they maintain sort of this underdog status that they use. And that's probably – Belichick probably uses that in developing the team. But they're not – dude, they're going to be fine. One of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. And you have Nikhil Harry. Once he's ready, dude – they are going to be unstoppable.
Okay.
Ben Watson is their weakest link there. I mean, dude, they always fade out.
I don't even understand what point you're trying to make other than just, you know, filleting the Patriots. You know what I mean? Like, I like the
Patriots.
Did they pay you
to talk to them like that?
You know? Like, they clearly have wide receiver issues. You're pretending that they don't have issues that they clearly have. Hang on, because you had quite a few moments there, and your basis and justification of that is what could happen or what you think is going to happen. N'Keal Harry's gonna be awesome. You know, you don't know that.
I do.
You know, you don't know that Mohamed Sanu is gonna be great. You don't know how long Julian Edelman's got left in his tank. You know, Edelman's the best one right now, and he's not your prototypical wide receiver,
bro.
This is why Tom Brady advocated so hard. He wanted to keep Antonio Brown, or at least bring him back, because he knew they need that. They need that, you know, that huge threat, that wide receiver threat that these clowns that you're talking about just don't represent.
Dude, to say that they need that, historically, history backs me up. They have done this juggling act for 20 years. They have not had steady pieces everywhere forever. They've always maybe had one, but even when Gronk was around, he's hurt half the time. I mean, that is just not true. I mean, guys like Malcolm Mitchell, who
it's a fallacy,
even
man.
Played like huge roles in Super Bowls runs, and it went away. Never heard from him again. It happens all the time with them. Whatever. I don't buy that they're in trouble.
Because it's happened before, it will happen again.
Well, I mean, Brady himself precursored that comment anyway. Yes, that is what I'm saying. Historically, the Patriots have worked themselves out of these things.
And I'm saying that's a logical fallacy.
Well, they've already brought in Sanu, and they've got Edelman, and N'Keal Harry is the one that they've been waiting for. He's been on IR for 6 weeks. He's finally back.
N'Keal over. You never know. You never know what the fuck's gonna happen with that offense.
You about to shit the bed.
Yeah, that offense has problems. They weren't able to exploit a very weak Eagles secondary. That is on the receivers and Brady, but mostly on the receivers.
And you got Sanu who can do it, and he didn't.
Sanu has nice hands and he runs a nice route, but he doesn't have that breakaway speed anymore. You know, he never really did. He was always like a nice intermediate catch guy. You know, like a not quite as good Marcus Colston. Like he's got a long body and good hands.
Well, we've had this conversation before. Can we really truly define him, since his entire career he's been overshadowed by like two of the greatest wide receivers of this generation?
And why has he been overshadowed? Maybe because he's not
underneath
that great.
AJ Green and Julio Jones. So when your coach is game planning for the fucking game, that's where you're overshadowed. They're drawing up more plays to get the ball to those wide receivers.
Yeah, if anything, that's been an advantage to his career, because he's received less coverage.
True story.
Just want to pull up. We talk about the Eagles defense. I also think that's a misnomer that they are so bad.
Just the secondary is having problems, really. Because, I mean, they still have a good front seven, man.
Yeah, like that's the only team in the past, two teams in the past five games that have really put points on them are the Vikings and the Cowboys.
But they did it with passing, they didn't do it with running.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, okay. Yeah. I just don't. I don't think
this is what I'm saying. Like, if the Patriots' strength is their running game, and they run into a team like the Eagles, well, they need to exploit the weakness that's there, and they were not able to do that. They got away with a win, but it wasn't pretty.
Not at all.
You know, Brady did not look good. None of the receivers looked very good. Edelman threw the only passing touchdown,
which was a nice pass.
It was, but. You have to, if you're Belichick, you have to not like resorting to trick plays at this point. I guess by any means necessary, but I'm pretty sure they all want that offense to flow a lot better than it is. But maybe N'Keal Over will come in and just fucking, he'll just be a wonderful, magical star.
A fucking wide receiver god.
Yeah.
He's going to come in with magical hands.
I mean, they scored 30-plus points this season. Six times.
Yeah. I bet you every one of those games that involved a defensive or special teams touchdown.
True.
So, like, they scored, like, 21 offensive points or whatever.
Okay, but that also changes, like, possession rotation in the game anyway. So, to, like, use that as some kind of knock, that just,
Yes, I'm going to use that as a knock on the offense. If you're going to say the offense scored over 30 points six times this year, I'm going to say, no, they didn't, because the defense scored some of those. So you can't cite that number. Cite a different number. You know what I mean? But that's not the offense's numbers.
Like, you know, I definitely think they're beatable. I just think when we get these Monday morning hype news cycles, it's just hilarious to me. That's the only point that I wanted to make. I just think it's overblown.
The thing is, I agree with all that. I agree with you on that. But I also recognize that they have a problem with their receivers, which they may or may not sort out. We'll see. I feel like their season depends on them being able to sort out the problem that they have currently with their receivers. And that's all I really have to say on the matter.
I don't see them winning the Super Bowl this year.
Well, they have to go through Baltimore again, most likely. And that's going to be a tough sled. They got their shit handed to them the last time. These two teams, they want that home field throughout, you know, big time. And that I think is going to factor into it. It's interesting in the AFC what's going on, because there's so many teams that are still, you know, in the hunt. But it's funny because the NFC is the opposite. The NFC is like pretty much locked up as far as who's making the playoffs and who's not.
All right, before you get into all that, because we're at the Ravens and the Patriots, so talking about like as if the Patriots couldn't beat the Ravens just because they lost to them once. I mean, look, I love the Ravens, but you want to talk about wide receiver cores and issues. I mean, they have one of the thinnest in terms of proving something this year, so they can also be beaten. Lamar Jackson is the hardest person to game plan for, but he can be game planned for. The Patriots didn't do it correctly the first time, but that's another team that can be beat. And I don't think there's some brick wall that the Patriots can't get past. There are vulnerabilities there. You know, Marquise Brown is very good, but I mean, let's face it, he has not had the type of rookie campaign people were expecting him to have. And then you got Willie Snead, Mark Andrews, and that's it.
You pass over Mark Andrews like he's nothing.
I mean, okay. Yeah.
Mark Andrews. Yeah.
Look, guys, Barnage had a great season at tight end too, okay? And he absolutely fell off the face of the earth, so let's just see if he keeps it going. But yeah, Mark Andrews is really good. Sure.
I mean, his receiving core, you down-talking him, but at the end of the day, when he has to make these passes, he's still making these good passes, man.
You guys like the Ravens' receiving core better than the Patriots' receiving core?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. All things considered, yeah. I think they have two tight ends. I think they have two tight ends that I think the Patriots would fucking love to have right now.
Okay.
And Hollywood Brown is pretty fast, man. And he's making some great plays as well.
Yeah.
Willie Snead's coming in and at times and making great plays as well.
They have two or three guys that can take the top off of a defense. The Patriots don't have any guys that can do that.
Two or three? Well, you mean like Lamar? Like no. Hollywood? Who else?
Hollywood Brown.
Okay, that's one. That's the only one I can think of. That's it, baby. Unless there's a guy they're running in five wide sets or something, you know, that I'm not thinking of.
Here we go. Marquise Brown. I'm going to say Miles Boykin and Mark Andrews.
Take the top off the defense, huh?
No, I'm not saying that Snead can do that, but... Snead, if I had to pick Snead or, you know.
I'll take Snead in the slot.
Snead or Sanu.
Mark Andrews runs a 4.67, bro. So, like, I get it. Hollywood Brown is one of the
fastest. I'm not saying that he's burning everybody on the field, but when they do a play up the middle on play action and he runs over and blocks a linebacker and then hits up the seam and then gets a 40-yard touchdown, like he's done, like, multiple times this year.
Yeah.
Patriots ain't doing that. They don't have a tight end capable. Not anymore, at least.
That's one thing they don't have. But I don't... Isn't one of their guys been hurt behind Watson? He's just coming back. What's his name? Young fellow. I forget. Let's move on.
Nobody worthy of me talking about.
Oh, sorry. You got your hand up?
Monster kill!
I mean, do you want to get into the picks?
Now you want to do some picks?
It's time for some motherfucking picks.
Give me some energy, baby. Let's do this.
Claymore and I both went 10-4. Stassi went 8-6.
10-4?
The adjusted totals now. Stassi's still in first, 47-36.
Woo!
I'm in second, 44-39, 3 games behind. Claymore, 42-41, almost at 500.
Cool.
The little rascal.
Them fucking Bears picks are fucking me up, man.
Yeah. So we're all within stabbing distance of first place here. So it's very competitive.
So we let Stassi pick first on all the games this week, right?
What?
I think that's a good idea. We'll start Thursday night football.
No, we should have to rotate. That's bullshit.
He wants right. that lead so bad.
You know what? Fuck it. I will go first on everyone.
I ain't scared. Okay.
No. I'm better
Somebody
at picking games.
Somebody took the little kahunas drop just now.
Okay. Thursday night football. Indianapolis Colts at Houston Texans. Texans favored by 3.5 points. Over-unders 45.5. Stassi,
Texans. It's not even close. Texans are one of the best teams in the NFL. They will show it as the season progresses. Texans.
Yeah. I'm gonna go Texans as well. Marlon Mack's out. Even though they got decent running backs to step in behind him. But like three of them. Williams, Hines, or whatever the fuck his name is.
Naheem
I just don't
Hines? Naheem Hines.
Yeah. I don't see them beating the Texans, especially coming off of that terrible loss they just took this week.
Well, it's at Houston, too.
Yeah, Houston is definitely not losing this game, man.
All right. Houston is definitely losing this game. Indianapolis is just the much better team.
What a dope.
In this matchup.
What an absolute dope.
These guys just got embarrassed by Baltimore. Same thing is going to happen on Thursday Night Football. Thursday Night Football is known for this low scoring games, short week, lack of preparation, and that's a nice bet for you too. +3.5 there. You ought to think about that.
Bro, I totally got that +100 on Seattle before it flipped.
we'll get to that too, because that was fucking weird. All right, noon games. Miami Dolphins at Cleveland Browns. Browns favored by double digits, 10.5 points. Over-unders 44.
Yeah, Cleveland should have no problem there. I thought the Dolphins were going to be some really fun late season team you could possibly win some money with. I don't think that's going to happen this weekend, though. I still don't think the Browns are good. But at least they're winning games, so maybe that'll be good for Baker's mojo, and we'll see some real improvement. I'm not sure, though. I'm not sure that's why they're winning games, because they're getting better. Because I still think the offense is atrocious. Get Kareem Hunt involved. You know, they definitely need to do that way more now that
they
have
Kareem Hunt.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure he did.
Kareem Hunt.
We might have to replay that, because I'm pretty sure he said Kareem Hunt.
Get Kareem Hunt involved.
But yeah, I'll take the Browns to win at home against the Dolphins.
Okay.
I'm going to go Browns as well. Baker's kind of got a little bit ahead of steam coming with him. He's got a little bit of confidence. The whole shakeup with the beating people up with the helmet shit, it kind of knocked them back a little bit. But I think they come out here and they show that they're a better team than what they are, even without their best defensive player.
Yeah.
So Browns.
I'm with you guys. I think this is a gimme. The Browns are 4-6, and like I mentioned earlier with the AFC, they're really two games out of being in wild card contention. They have a very nice divisional record, too, where, I mean, the division, that's long gone. But those two spots, you know, Buffalo's at 7-3, and Houston's sitting at 6 with 6-4. Oakland's right behind them at 6-4. Pittsburgh and Tennessee at 5-5. And then Cleveland and Jacksonville at 4-6, along with the Chargers. I mean, I'm not going to say it's going to happen, but anything's possible. We saw last year that this team really turned it up at the end of the year.
And they went 5-3? last half of the year?
They did really well. I mean, that's when Baker was playing his best. You know, he didn't start off very strong, but he finished strong. So we'll see if that same thing happens this year. Next noon game, Denver Broncos at Buffalo Bills. Bills are favored by 4 points. Over under is 37.
This is a toss-up. I don't think the Bills are going to match up well with the Broncos. This will be a coin flip game. The Broncos' defense is good, and they can control a game, as we saw against the Vikings. This will be an actual test. I know it doesn't look like a test on the schedule for the Bills, but it will be a test for the Bills. So I'll go ahead and take the Bills. It's at home. They need a win here. So hopefully that will give them the fire they need. I'll take the Bills.
I'm going to go against you, man. I'm going to say Broncos here. I liked what I seen against Minnesota. I know they lost the game in the end. There was some calls that weren't called that could have affected the game. The Bills, man, I know they have a winning record, but the way they play, it's a 50-50 chance, and it's do you get the good Bills or do you get the bad Bills? And you don't know until the game starts playing, and you don't even really know until after halftime. Broncos, they're really mixing Cortland Sutton, Fant, however you say his name, the tight end. Yeah, he's coming into play, man. He's making some big catches at the goal line catches. I don't see them losing. I see the Broncos going in.
Don't see them losing.
Yeah, I see the Broncos winning, man.
Should I bet on them in my parlay this week then?
With the Broncos, I would.
75.
I would.
I would, only if this game ended at halftime, because the Broncos are a great first-half team, and they just fall apart, as we've seen time and time again this season. I do question the ability of the Bills' offense to come back in a game, but I don't think that as good as Denver's defense has been, I think that the Bills will still be able to move the ball, just by virtue of how Josh Allen is using his legs right now. You know, with lack of receiving targets. I mean, outside of John Brown, who's having, you know, some nice games put together here, he's still able to move the chains, you know, when the play falls apart. And he's not shying away from hits either. He's a tough guy. I'm going to take the Bills at home here.
They're definitely explosive enough. It's just they're not good at methodically doing things. They're not like, they can't be consistent with a method, you know? It's chaos, I feel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I agree. It's very chaotic.
I mean, they held Dalvin Cook to 26 rushing yards. 26, man.
We're talking about the Broncos now.
I am. We're okay. Talking about the Broncos. The Broncos just held Dalvin Cook to 26 rushing yards. Like, that's how bad they were beating the shit out of them, that they had to go to the passing game. Cousins, to me, is a lot better than Allen. And
so now we're talking about the Bills, though.
Yeah, but
I know,
I'm not
that's
talking,
what I'm saying.
Yeah, but
I was talking about the Bills' offense.
Yeah, but he's basically saying that Denver's defense was good enough to hold Dalvin Cook.
Oh, gotcha.
So what is Singletary and Gore, what are they going to do against this defense?
My apologies.
And my argument is that the Bills' offensive line is better and that their offense is schemed better for the run. I think they'll be able to move the chains. It might not be huge clips, but like I said, on those like third and fives when he drops back, like Josh Allen's a real threat.
Yeah.
You know, like, and as we've seen, one spy is usually not enough. Like, he has no problem running through a dude and fighting for a first down.
And he's got John Brown.
Like, he ain't fucking sliding. Like, this dude, if like, I admire the way he plays. It's a lot of grit, you know, like he'll run straight up the middle. Safety will come in on him hard, and he sees where the chains are, and he's getting it. So I just like his determination. I also like the fact that it's at home, you know. This is the best start a Buffalo team has had in quite a while. Their fans are going to be fired up. You know, they have
– it's a must-win. They want to win. They need a string together, a nice ending to their season. So.
Yeah, well, this is one of the games that they need to pick up. Against a team like Denver, but like a 3-7 team, like the 7-3 team, they want to move to 8-3 on the back of Denver. They're not gonna. I don't think they're gonna underprepare for this one, especially after watching tape from last week's game against the Vikings. I think they're gonna be ready. And on the other side of the ball, I guess, you know, Courtland Sutton is definitely a threat. The tight end's a threat, but I like the Bills' defense.
Yeah, you think they did good making him, you know, the true number one, moving on from Manny?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sutton is great. And the thing that really boggles my mind about last week is that in those final moments where they were just going downfield, mismanaging the clock all over the place, I don't think he was even targeted once.
They didn't even target him on the goal line, and he was your most.
Yeah. He had the him most in single catches. Coverage, and it was like,
you didn't even go to him.
Yeah. You have, I remember the play, it was like 2 seconds left. Yep. They had one play. I'm watching it, and I said out loud, this has to go to Sutton. I'm looking at him at the bottom of the screen. There's one guy across from him. He's not bracketed by a safety. Like, you have to try to put this in the hands of your best playmaker.
And they did it all game. They looked at him all game, man. When they needed it, they threw to him. Because he's if he's on my team, I'm throwing it to him too. You've come up with some big plays over safeties and everything, like just going over people. Grabbing the ball out of their hands, coming down with it, and on the play that you need him the most, you don't even look his way.
Yeah.
That's why you lose games.
The Vikings had a nice comeback, but Denver lost that game more than the Vikings won it.
Oh, yeah. Man, their defense, they had so many opportunities to
close it out.
Destroying the Vikings, man.
All right. Let's go to Pittsburgh Steelers at Cincinnati Bengals. Steelers are favored by 6.5 points, over-unders at 39.
Crazy. Another toss-up game. Another game I would take the underdog here, at least for parlay's sake, because I think the Bengals may try to win this game, because now they're
talking about toss-up game.
Because let me explain to you.
Haven't won a game yet.
Bro, exactly. The point that I'm trying to make, they're pretty much penciled in now for the number one pick, should they choose it. You know, or if they decide to trade it away or whatever. So now, why not? They're going to make it interesting now at the end of the season. I'm telling you, they're going to play teams closer. We saw it this past Sunday. This is a toss up game. I do not think the Steelers come into this game and get some easy win here, especially not after what happened last week. I mean, are they even going to have any wide receivers that have a clean mental bill of health? After those two concussions, Jesus Christ, dude.
I mean, are the Bengals going to have any wide receivers?
Dude, it doesn't matter. I mean, Juju got like double tapped, possibly brain damage for life. And then Deontay Johnson is still in another dimension. I don't think this is a very easy game for the Steelers. In fact, you know, I'm going to officially go ahead and take the Bengals. After just looking at how out physical they got, including the brawl at the end of it. Like, dude, the Steelers are beat after that. I'm going to go ahead and take the Bengals for a wild upset at home.
Oof. I don't even think James Conner's playing. Juju's not going to play. Now you've fallen down on to the second, third string receivers. The Bengals, they're sucking it up. Do they win here? Fuck, I don't know. But for records wise, trying to catch up with Stassi, I'm gonna go Steelers here.
Just real quick, I mean, you guys don't think that my theory about now that they've kind of secured worse record, probably that why not just try to play well?
No, I mean, I'm not gonna respond to that because it's nonsense. They have no incentive to win this game. If they did, that then you know, Andy Dalton would be back in the game and AJ Green would be back active on the roster.
I don't mean playing that hard to win. Okay, that's different.
You mean just playing kind of hard?
Yeah, I mean, like, hey, let's see what happens. Let's go for it every time. Let's not punt. Let's just like.
Here's my thing. I don't give a fuck who's hurt. I don't give a fuck who's hurt on the Steelers. The fact of the matter is, last week, one of their boys was assaulted with a deadly weapon. All right, Mike Tomlin is about to give a pregame speech that's going to, like, Omar Epps is going to walk in and be like, God damn, I need that type of intensity. You know what I mean? Like, these guys are going to be fired up, dude. They want revenge for their boy. Like, if you watch Pouncey and those guys after, like, in the fight and all that, like, they love that dude, you know?
WWF stomping his head.
Yeah. Pouncey. And they're going to take out that anger on the hapless Bengals. And it's going to be classic Steeler, Iron Curtain, TJ Watt just in the fucking... I'm starting Joe Mixon. I don't feel good about it because I really think he's going to struggle against the Steelers defense. And Finley, that dude's going to be pressured all day.
Let's start our own awards for players. And Pouncey should get like should be like our first nominee for absolute savage bro of the year.
Royal Rumble winner?
Just a like about it dude. You know what yeah. I mean? Like the Bon V of football.
Yeah.
Like if somebody's scrapping one of my boys, let's go.
Yeah. Pulling the Tech Nine out the trunk.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. Wasn't this the guy that was like free Aaron Hernandez?
Pouncey?
Probably so.
I believe so.
No.
He didn't do nothing.
Did you see the link to Aaron Hernandez to another murder? He's got like five or six bodies on him now, dude. Just recently, they linked him to another one.
Dude, the dude was a true thug. Why do you think
he was a serial killer at this point? I mean,
oh, man.
Yes, dude.
A true thug. What a romantic vision of a fucking serial killer.
I mean, is that not what a
serial... He ate their bodies. What a gangster.
I mean, he has a serial pattern of killing people. This dude was just walking around all the time killing people, apparently. Didn't give a fuck.
Cutting people's heads off, man. Fucking savage gangbanger, man. A real G. All right, next game. New York Football Giants at the Chicago Bears, who are favored by 6 points. Over-under's 40.5 points.
Giants and Bears. Man, they've got the Bears heavily favored here, huh? That is an awful
damn right. It's still the Bears.
Faith, bro. Wowzers. Do I not know something about this game?
The Bears are going to win.
I mean, is Daniel Jones hurt? Is Saquon hurt? What do I not know? Did the Giants just suck this bad? I know Evan Ingram's probably out.
Giants are coming off a bye. Saquon's back healthy.
Sort of.
I don't know about Sterling Shepard.
It doesn't matter. They have Golden Tate, right?
And I don't know about... who else did you mention?
Ingram. I think
Evan Ingram.
Out. I think Ingram is out for sure.
Yeah.
Still.
But what I do know about is that Nick said, it's still the Chicago Bears, which can be taken one of two ways. You know what I mean?
No, it can only be taken one way right now. Which
I'm just saying, like his
dog shit.
You were like, why are they favored? And Nick's like, it's still the Chicago Bears. And I'm wondering what exactly he meant by that. Like, is that supposed to be...
Was that like a Rex Grossman Hester reference to Better Times? Like, or is that a Jay Cutler, Brandon Marshall reference?
What,
like, what
at
Bears...
what point are you hearkening back to?
Yeah. Is that Walter Payton? Like, before you were born? Like, the year you were born? Is that the Bears?
Like, 1986?
You know what's really weird? It smells like haters in the building. Weird.
Haters in the building.
Must
the Bears
be.
Got 4-6 right now. They got
you
four wins. All right,
pick.
Guys.
You lose your pick every week on the Bears. Every week.
No,
be,
I don't. I won
probably
one time.
You'd be winning. You'd probably be winning if you didn't pick the Bears every week.
Doesn't matter.
That's the funny thing about this.
Yeah, probably.
It's the Bears. But take them.
Okay, look. I'm going to make it simple. I think the Giants are better than the fucking Bears. I think the Bears are trash. I'm taking the Giants. Plus 245. Give me that, dude. Parlays are going to be sweet this week.
I want to get in on one with you.
Okay.
Oh, because I don't get to. Whatever.
Yeah.
No, I mean.
I'm penciling you in right now for the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, thanks.
Do you have any reasoning for other than you, it's just your team?
Chase, I mean, it's a home game.
Daniels?
Is it going to
Chase motherfucking Daniels? Best backup of ever.
Of ever?
Best backup of ever. Chase Daniels sent that sentence to him for him to read.
He did. He's my best friend.
Best backup. Love Chase. And he misspelled his own name. Like the H.
He misspelled of?
The H was backwards, like a, you know, like a baby would write an H.
Yes.
Well, if you're done, I know you don't have much to talk about with Matt Nagy and Chase Daniel and any of that, so I'm not going to torture you by making you justify your irrational pick. I'm going to take the Giants. I think the Bears are garbage, man. And I think it's a game that Saquon can expose that defense. You know, Daniel Jones is okay. He's not terrible. But the Bears defense hasn't been that elite unit that we thought that they would be.
And it's because a lot of they're that, on the field.
Yeah, I was about to say that. Raise a hand, okay?
No.
Listen, raise a fucking hand. All right.
You're not raising a hand when it comes
to know they're exhausted. And I see no reason to believe that they're gonna be any less exhausted in this game. You know? I feel like the Giants D is just capable enough to keep their shitty offense in check and keep them punting. And you know, Saquon can touch the ball 30 times and just fucking light it up. You never know what'll happen. I think that number's way too high.
You need to cut it.
No, I mean, I don't think the Bears should be favored by 6 points against really anybody. I mean, they can't score. Like, they have problems scoring. I just don't.
Can't even kick field goals.
No, I can understand them being favored at home, right? That's fine. But like a minus three or something like that makes more sense to me.
Quite a bit.
Only a four.
Like, and I don't. Giants or not, whatever. You know, they still have some nice pieces on that team. Okay, next game. Oakland Raiders at New York Jets. Raiders favored by 3 points, over unders 46.
This one's interesting. This is probably one of the closer games we're going to see. Both of these teams.
Are you all right?
Are trending. Yeah. I got some.
Do I need to call emergency services?
Trapped air.
It's a trap.
Yeah. I mean, I think this game's a trap for the Raiders if they think they're just going to waltz in there with a victory. Because I do not think that's going to happen. I think you can favor them in this game, but not by much. I like the Jets here. I'm going to go ahead and pick the Jets just because I want my money picks to align with the podcast picks this week.
Man, I think this is gonna be a great game. The Jets are finally clicking. They're playing like they did when they beat the Cowboys, and they looked like they were something. Darnold is no longer seeing ghosts. He's kind of got over that. The Raiders are playing some good football right now too, though, man. Their run game is on point. Renfro has stepped up in the receiver position. Waller's just being Waller. But Derek Carr, man, and that O-line is giving him a lot of protection. He's kind of making the plays. The Jets' defense, though, is underrated, I believe. I think they're a lot better than what people give them props for.
I like their roster. Like, I'm not sure it always translates, but they're one of those teams I feel that underachieves defensively sometimes.
Their offense, man, the Jets' offense is doing really well too. Crowder, Demaryius Thomas, making plays when need. The tight end, Ryan Griffin, is doing a hell of a job right now, man.
Yeah, I mean, he's nothing long term for them.
No, but yeah, he was
when, always. Isn't Herndon supposed to be back soon?
Right.
Whatever happened to Herndon?
I think he re-hurt himself or something. He's out again or. I don't fucking know, man.
Because that guy was pretty good, and he showed some great flashes last year.
I'm going to go Raiders. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think they're the more complete team. I think that they'll be able to control the time of possession in this game. All those weapons you mentioned, Josh Jacobs, Waller. They're playing with a lot of confidence right now. Give me the Raiders. I could see the Jets winning this game, but I just don't think it'll happen.
I appreciate this win, boys. Separate myself from you guys. Ooh.
Yeah, that's how it worked out last week, huh?
Mm-hmm.
No, it didn't.
It didn't at all.
Remember your hot Arizona Cardinals take?
That totally went to shit.
What about your hot Philadelphia Eagles take?
Hey, man, it was a close game.
Yeah.
My quarter flipping on the 49ers beat your silly ass Arizona pick.
Okay.
Yeah, you took the favorite. Noon game. Carolina Panthers at New Orleans Saints. Saints favored by 9.5 points. 47 points is the over-under. Stassi?
Yeah, I don't think this one's going to be close. Earlier in the year when Kyle Allen first started playing, I had hope for them that maybe they could beat teams. But that's not the case. He's regressed. They don't know what they're doing. Is Cam actually going to come back?
There's been talk of that, yes.
I don't see them having a chance in the Dome. I'll take the Saints.
Yeah. That quarterback, man. Whew. He has no confidence in himself.
Is he the worst of the Allens?
Right now, I'd have to agree, yes.
There's the Denver Allen, the Buffalo Allen, and the Carolina Allen.
And he is the worst. He is the worst.
Yeah.
And you would think that he wouldn't be because he has so many threats, man. He's got...
Does he, though? Does he?
I mean, Christian McCaffrey's all over the field.
That's a threat, yes.
DJ Moore, and that's it. I mean, Greg Olsen's had an okay season. Clutch moments, but...
Greg Olsen is so fucking concussed right now.
Kyle Allen has just regressed.
Greg Olsen thinks he's a bowl of orange juice.
But he's still catching the ball. He's like, oh...
I disagree, man. When
his fucking brain just scrambled.
That's so bullshit. When, during the bye week, he had a booth gig over the weekend. He was really good.
Yeah, they edited him out.
No, he was good.
No, his production was saved in editing.
He's going to be very, very good.
Trust me.
In the booth.
No, he'll do his color commentary, and then every now and then I'll have like a PTSD, like he'll just start screaming.
I mean, he was good. He was on the winning team this week. So, I don't know.
The most exciting game of the week. Not game of the week in terms of importance, but I can't wait to watch this fucking game. Tampa Bay Buccaneers at Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons are favored by 4.5 points. Over-under's 51.5. Slam that over. Slam that shit. This is going to be the shootout of shootouts, man. It's going to be classic Jameis, classic Matty Ice. Jameis is going to be so injured. He's going to be hobbling around, just chucking it up to anybody. I can't wait. That said, I'm taking the Falcons because I think that he'll throw 3 picks in this game. That's also because I really want him to keep up pace because I think he can do it. I think he can actually set the single season. And I don't even know what the record is, but he's got to have
one. No.
What is it?
It's like Favre, isn't it?
No. Post-Super Bowl era.
Let's see.
Single season interception.
I think it is Favre. Isn't it Favre?
I know he's an all-time leaner. 1962, 42. Vinny Testaverde threw 35 in
1988. 35? How many games are left? This is week 12?
13, yeah.
14, 15, 16.
Poor Vinny.
6 games left. He has like 19 interceptions right now, I believe. Can we get a quick check on Jameis' current interceptions?
I'll let you check that.
Okay, he's at 18.
Jeez.
6 games left to get to 30.
He needs 12. He's got to average 2 a game to tie. Add in one more.
Isn't he like averaging almost 3 right now per game?
So he needs to.
He's getting a lot of help from his wide receivers and making sure these interceptions happen. So he needs
luck to.
Yeah. The one with O.J. Howard, like did it. like a fucking and one catch behind the back or something.
Like, it's almost like they're just trying to throw the ball to the defenders after they catch it. Like I've seen that like six times this year with him.
Yeah. I feel like Jameis Winston might be actually trying to go for this record at a certain point. Like he's like, just
it may be the only record.
Just so he can win comeback player of the year later.
No, just so he can get a record.
Yeah. Just so he can get any record.
Just so like when people Google most interceptions, like they see Jameis.
They'll get crab legs from Publix and most interceptions in a season and Heisman winner.
Eating
and a free Uber ride.
A free Uber ride.
So yeah, give me the Falcons here. I think Jameis is going to have three interceptions to put him at 21. With five games left, I think he can do it. And I'm so excited to watch the rest of the season because, dude, if Bruce Arians benches him, I'm going to be so fucking mad. So mad. And he was hobbling around out there like he needed to be benched. And Arians was just like, nah.
No, they're going to ruin him out there and then dismiss him. Like he will be left on the side of the road. And I actually think he's better elsewhere.
Exactly. If there becomes like a point of contention between the two, like we're not benching you, fuck you. We're going to ruin your fucking body and then send you to the kick you to the curb. And then Jameis's like response to that is, oh yeah, motherfucker, watch this fucking pick. Just slinging picks, slinging them. What if 31 is a conservative number? What if he's like 38 picks, like an untouchable record? God, he could do it. If there's any guy I believe in for this, it's him. So yeah, give me the Falcons.
Is he better than Josh Freeman was?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Josh Freeman had a few nice years, though. Remember when he was playing with the Browns? Slinging it to...
it's all a blur, man.
Slinging it to Josh Gordon.
Did he?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he stayed there long doing that, though.
No, it wasn't long.
They had, like, one game. Josh Freeman had a very bizarre end to his career after the Bucks. Like,
they had some nice connections.
He did, like, one game stints, like, three times that season, and it was just... Everyone just gave up on him.
Yeah.
I'll take the Falcons here as well. I think, like I've always said, I like the Falcons roster. I think they've underachieved at home against this Bucks team after what I just saw this past weekend. I think that's easy money. I think that the front seven of the Falcons will give Jameis trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the front seven of that Atlanta defense right now, they come out of nowhere, man. They're really playing the fuck out of some football, man. They're sacking everybody. They're running over everyone. Their offense is finally coming together. Yeah, now. their offense is finally coming together.
We're on a two-game trend, boys.
And it's another division game for them.
Yeah.
They're playing for stats at this point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Matt Ryan's going to save that bowel movement for next year.
Yeah. You know? Matty Ice comes in, another 300-yard game, three touchdowns. Yeah, they get the win, man. I'm going with the Falcons.
All right. Another agreed-upon game. Okay, so there's only two afternoon games now. They flexed one of these out.
You're skipping the Lions and Redskins.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying we have six games left. But there's a ton of noon games. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. They got 9 games at noon. That seems like more than usual.
Yeah, it's gonna be crazy. So what box is that gonna be on Red Zone? How many? What's 9?
What is 8? 9?
Octo. When 9's like hecta. Like the hecta box, the someone please. All right, 9-sided shape.
We're just gonna leave you hanging, dude.
I mean, you said it's right.
It's the nonagon, the nana box.
No. The nana box.
It's hept, like
hept.
Yeah,
like hepatitis.
Yeah, like hepatitis C.
So it would be like a heptagon.
The heptaboxgon. The heptagon yeah. box.
Like the heptalip.
Red Zone's going to be lit, dude.
All right. Detroit Lions at Washington Redskins. Lions favored by 3.5 points. 42 is the over-under.
Wait, what's the game?
Lions at Redskins. Are you looking up numeral prefixes?
I'm finished.
You are. Just went down a rabbit hole during the podcast, did you? It's like, whoa, man.
You guys better be prepared.
It's like, look at this article, man. It's like 10 numeral prefixes that you're not going to believe. Number 8 will shock you.
And you got to click the next button to get to each one.
Mm-hmm. He's just like looking at all these colors and shit, just stoned. He falls asleep.
Okay, so Lions at Redskins. Is Stafford back?
He's back. No. It's going to be...
No, it's back. It's broken. Spinal. Yeah.
It's going to be what's his name? Why is his name eluding me?
Yeah, he's been around forever.
Because he's a nobody.
No, he's been around forever.
He's a somebody. That's not nice of you.
Right. He's a nobody.
He's a man by the name of...
No one knows.
Jeff Driscoll.
Cool.
Yeah, Driscoll.
They call him the Big D.
The Big D.
Back...
is that right?
Back in Nebraska, where he was raised on a corn farm. His daddy owned 2 tractors. He's the oldest of 8 children. Career didn't turn out the way he wanted it to.
Yeah, I don't think that helps their chances of winning any of that.
He's making ends meet.
So, there's a lot of great gambling games. This is another toss up.
Toss your money on the Redskins, I dare you.
Okay. I'll pick the Redskins here.
All right.
Why not?
Sweet.
Yeah, I'm going with the Redskins. I flipped a quarter while everybody was talking, and it was the Redskins.
I mean,
give me Detroit. Redskins are fucking garbage. Like, Redskins are absolute dog shit trash, and I can't believe you guys just picked them over my illustrious Lions. Jeff Driscoll or not, they're still putting points on the board. I don't know what the Redskins are going to do. Give us a fucking
hey, man.
AD. Darius Geis had a nice run, but what else can be said about that team?
I'm going to save this particular segment for next week, and I'm going to play it back as we record next week.
Save it, because in my own power rankings, the Bengals are 32, and 31 is the Redskins. I don't care what the consolidated shit says. This is the second worst team in football.
Bro, the Titans beat the Chiefs.
Oh, okay.
That's all
I have. What does that have to do with anything? What are you talking about?
Oh, my God.
Smoked himself retarded.
Wow.
All right.
Come on, Stassi. Anything can happen. The Stassi.
Oh, you're saying because the Titans beat the Chiefs, anything can happen.
Yeah, you seem so absolute that the Redskins just can't beat anyone.
Look, the line is 3.5. I'm not saying it's not going to happen, but I said in my own personal power rankings, this is the second worst team in football.
Where do you have the Lions in those rankings?
Somewhere in the middle. I don't think they're that bad.
Do you have real rankings?
Honestly.
Do you only have 31 and 32 in your ranks?
No,
I start my rankings at the bottom. I start them at the bottom, and then I work my way up.
Can you share this sheet?
Yeah, I'll share it.
Yeah, I don't have these notes. Can you send these notes to us?
Oh, okay. You're getting a little carried away, Clintmaw. Why don't you just tone it back a little bit? Okay?
I'm tone it back as much as your team did against mine and fantasy.
Just tone it back and raise your little hand when you want to speak. Okay? I have the floor right now.
These hands are awesome. I wish you could do like a middle finger. Can we get like a custom? Let's see if we can get a custom skin.
So look, when Detroit played Green Bay, weeks back,
mm-hmm.
they were robbed of a win. that they had earned.
Yeah, because that guy kept
by a hands in the face that just did not exist.
Yeah, he acted pretty.
And that set the spiral downward for the season, and it hit rock bottom with Matt Stafford's injury.
Well, the tie too.
The tie to start off the season. Yeah, whatever. I'm just saying this team is a lot better than what they've been doing, and their season's done. They're not making anything in the NFC because everybody's too far ahead. But I have hope for this team in the future. They have some real good players in that team.
And well, their receiving core is elite.
The Redskins do not. So
yeah, the Lions have an elite receiving core. That is the advantage I would give to them. However, as I've also mentioned earlier before, that the Redskins on paper have an okay defense. This is a home game. They've committed to Dwayne Haskins. They have two good running backs. Like, this is not a cakewalk for the Lions, because if the Lions cannot continue drives, they're going to give the Redskins chances to score, chances to control the clock. So I'm still going to take the Redskins.
All right, moving on.
Last claim after- pick?
Yeah.
Yeah, he picked the Redskins. That's all he said, though. He didn't really have anything else to offer.
Monster kill!
Seattle Seahawks at Philadelphia Eagles. Eagles, this is what we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
So this, they started off, it started off at -2.5. It's, when I printed this, it was -1.5. Eagles favored. I don't know what it's at now, but I imagine it's going to flip in the other direction.
Well, this was my biggest bet of the week.
Over-under is 49 points. Needless to say, I'm taking Seattle in this game. You know, Russell Wilson's playing out of his fucking mind right now. They're coming off a bye. Everybody's rested, ready to go. He's a candidate for MVP this season. You know, at this point, I feel like it's him and Lamar Jackson. Like we mentioned earlier, they have a nice front seven, but they have a secondary that can be exploited. And Russell Wilson is so dangerous outside of the pocket when he finds time and plays breakdown. In those events, that secondary will not be able to keep up with Tyler Lockett or DK Metcalf. So give me the Seahawks in this one. Eat the points.
I'm going to go Seahawks as well. Again, it comes down to the secondary of the Eagles. Not only do they have Metcalf and old boy, but they got Josh Gordon again. Well, not again, but they got him coming in off of a bye with the playbook. And it showed how much Russell Wilson can rely on him in this last game. Whenever they went to him on the fourth and whatever and threw the ball to Gordon, because he knew
got
he
had him twice, actually.
Yes.
Got him. It was two different plays to like extend drives at the end of the game.
That means a lot, man. And when you know when the game is on the line and you have a receiver that has those hands that you can go to besides your two other receivers that are really good, yeah, man, it's going to be hard to stop him. Russell Wilson coming out the pocket, you know, secondary's trash. He's going to exploit that, man. Seahawks.
Well, I'm going to go Seahawks. Like I said, we caught the line when it was +100, which made no sense. It's hilarious. But this game's going to be close, man. I know the Eagles are going to be interesting towards the end of the season. So, I'll take Seattle for pretty much everything that both of you said. Russell Wilson's playing out of his mind. They want to lead the charge for best record. You know, they want to vie for best record in NFC. So this is kind of a must win in terms of their goals for the season. So I'll take Seahawks.
We're all in agreement there. All right. Afternoon games. Jacksonville at Tennessee. Tennessee's favored by 3 points. Over-under is 41.5. Go ahead, Stas.
Man, Jacksonville disappointed me this past weekend. I actually didn't watch the game. Can anyone explain to me? Was Nick Foles bad or what happened?
He didn't look great. He was flat on a lot of his throws, and the game plan just wasn't great. That's when I expected them to win, but they...
Indy controlled the ball a lot, man, with that running.
Yeah, well, we got good Indy.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's half of the coin, but we also got bad Jags. Like, Indy was playing a good game. They had a good game plan. and they controlled the clock. And it kind of sucks they lost Marlon Mack in that game because he was doing damn well.
Yeah, he almost had 100 yards in the first half.
Yeah, it's just like he was just running with commitment.
Well, if that's how they won, then give me the Titans at home against the Jaguars. I mean, the Titans play close games. They play defense. They have Vrabel there, defensive-minded coach. I like the way Tannehill has been playing and, of course, Derrick Henry. So if that's how the Colts handle the Jaguars, then I will take the Titans at home.
Okay. And man, to be honest, Nick Foles didn't look bad. It showed that it was his first game back since, week one, connecting with his receivers. Now, he had two amazing touchdown passes to Chart. And in those two passes, it showed they're going to be a threat later on, man. Once they really start connecting downfield, Leonard Fournette he didn't really do too much. They kind of stopped him. On to the Titans, man. They have it going on. Tannehill has a resurgence of his career. He's playing behind a great team. That O-line is definitely keeping him, you know, well on his toes. The running back situation is really good. Finally, with Derrick Henry. I see the Titans winning, but it's hard to pick the Titans here, but I'm going to go with the Titans. Just because Nick Foles has to have another week under his belt with his offense. But then after that, it's going to be hard to beat the Jags.
Yeah, I'm with both of you guys on this. I think by virtue of Derrick Henry alone, I think they're going to win this game. I feel like he's going to have a monster game. And the Titans are also... It's almost the same for the Jaguars, but the Titans are a game up on them, and they're in must-win mode. They're one game behind Indianapolis. It's going to be tight in that division. Houston being at 6-4 and Oakland being at 6-4, you know, Tennessee 5-5 and Jacksonville 4-6. They're neither one of these teams is eliminated from being a potential wild card. So I just think Tennessee has a little bit more. They're at home. They've been playing well there. I mean, this team took down Kansas City in an impressive win. And I think they have a lot of great weapons. That O-line, like you mentioned, has been protecting Tannehill well. And I think you could pencil in Derrick Henry for 150 yards in this game. Like, I think he's going to run wild. So,
choo-choo!
Give me Derrick Henry and the Titans. All right, last afternoon game, Dallas Cowboys at New England Patriots. Patriots favored by 6.5 points, over-under is 46.
Get them out of here, dude. There's no way the Cowboys are winning this game.
Yeah.
Dak about to get zero blitzed. Yeah. He's about to get absolutely game-planned against by Bill Belichick, and they're going to be exposed. Patriots will make easy work of the Cowboys. And guess what? They're going to prove what we argued about for what seemed 3 hours earlier about the Patriots offense. It's fine. It's fine. They're playing around, trying to figure out what it's going to be at the end of the season. There's no problem. All that frustration shit, it's all bullshit. The Patriots, I'm going to say this, Patriots are going to put up 35 points on the Cowboys here at home.
35, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to take the Patriots as well, though I'm not as enthusiastic about the offense as you. I think this is a relatively low-scoring game, you know, like 17-14 or something like that, 24-14, 24-17. I do think the Patriots win it just because the game plan. I think that they can take away the Cowboys' best weapons, and their defense has all the tools to take away all their weapons. But I think the Dallas argument is that Randall Cobb and Michael Gallup and these other guys are coming along, and they're not so reliant on Amari Cooper anymore. And when Randall Cobb is healthy, which he's almost never healthy, but he's a real asset. I've
mentioned him for the last two podcasts. He's really surging. He's having a resurgence, a renaissance.
Yeah, he's playing great. I mean, you don't know how long it's going to last, but for now, it's a good asset for that team and for Dak.
I think this is going to be a trap game, man. I can't even say that the Patriots are going to just come in here and kick the shit out of Dallas. Dallas is one of those weird teams that play shitty teams really shitty and play good teams really good. The way the Patriots just played Philadelphia, man, again, I didn't like it. They didn't look too good. It is that time in the season where they are playing shit. And it's, I don't know if it's a game plan that they do it. But I'm going to go Patriots, man. But I think it's a trap game. I think the Cowboys do have a good chance of winning. But I'm going to go Patriots.
Our last game for the day, Sunday Night Football, Green Bay Packers at San Francisco 49ers. Niners favored by 3 in this game, over-unders 46.5 points. I'm taking the Packers in this one. I haven't been very impressed by Garoppolo in recent weeks. They've won some narrow ones against, you know, I would say inferior opponents. And the Packers are coming off a bye. They've had 2 weeks to prepare for this game. I think it's going to be a high-scoring affair, but I think that the Packers are, you know, they're running from the Vikings right now to solidify that spot in the NFC North. And not only that, in their way for home field advantage is this team. I'm going to go ahead and say that the Packers are going to take this one.
Well, I want to thank you for going first because I'd like to stay ahead of you. I think this game, if we could pick a game where we didn't have to pick one, this would be the game I would pick this week. I have no idea what's going to happen. I think it can go either way. I think the 49ers could steamroll the Packers, possibly. But just to stay with you, and because I think anything can happen, I'll go ahead and take the Packers at the road. Probably also try to fit that on a parlay.
When it comes down to this game right here, it's kind of based on the same thing with the Niners versus Seattle. The quarterback that has a better pocket presence, should I say, or just, oh man. Garoppolo compared to Aaron Rodgers, it doesn't compute, doesn't come close. The Packers are playing some good games right now. They have the tandem running back situation. They have some receivers that are stepping up with Lazard and Marcus Valdes-Scantling.
Well, I mean Devontae Adams is back. Huge.
It means a lot, and you also have those receivers that can step into play when you double coverage Devontae. You know what I mean? So again, I'm going to have to go with the quarterback with the most experience here, seeing how Garoppolo just gets overwhelmed with it. And I'm going to have to go Aaron Rodgers, Packers.
Monday Night Football, Baltimore Ravens at Los Angeles Rams. Baltimore's favored by 3 points, 46.5 over under.
It's another close game. It's now or never for the Rams. You know, if they're going to show any kind of gasp for the rest of the season, this would be the game to show up in. I do think the Ravens will win this game, but this isn't going to be a cakewalk. This could easily be a loss for them. Lamar Jackson is going to have to continue to be Lamar Jackson. You know, Ramsey is there now. So, I mean, he's obviously going to be on Hollywood. There's a lot of things that the Rams can do to win this game. As we've seen, Gurley is now trending in more usage, which is interesting. Maybe shows that they've just been resting him and there was no real competition there, you know, at running back, like people were kind of alluding to. I'll take the Ravens.
I'm going to disagree with everything you said about the Rams. I think they're overrated. I think they're shit. Goff is on the downtrend right now. Okay, so you got Gurley making a couple of plays, but
right. Again, I was saying that it's a get right moment for them, that it could be. I mean, I didn't pick them. I'm picking the Ravens.
Baltimore just steamrolled Houston, and they're going to steamroll the fucking Rams as well. I don't even think the Rams scored 10 points is the same as Houston did.
Oh, you want to bet on that?
Ravens all day.
Can we bet on that?
What, the Rams don't score at least 10?
Yeah.
Let me think about it.
Okay.
-3 is ridiculously low, and I feel like Vegas knows something that us three minds do not. Going into L.A., I guess, is going to be tough to play, but I'm sure there's going to be tons of Ravens fans there. I'm going to keep it interesting. I'm going to take the Rams in this game. I like their defensive matchups against Baltimore. I think they will be able to slow them down and slow Lamar down. And this is the week. Like you said, it's now or never. They have to get it together. Whatever the boy genius Sean McVay has whipped up, you know, hopefully it'll allow them to move the ball better than not at all, which is how they've been. I'll take the Rams.
Yeah, nice pick, man.
So in terms of teams we agree on.
So we got Cleveland, Saints, Falcons, Packers, and what else?
Titans.
Fuck. There we go. That's a fiver. So if we do 150 on that, it pays 1,100. Well, that's good.
I think we should add in an underdog.
Okay. Well, let's think very carefully because I like the odds of all those games going. I mean, with the exception of Green Bay, I think everything else is like locked in there. Man, I don't know, Jacksonville, Tennessee. None of it's locked in. What am I talking about?
Y'all want to do two this week?
Can we bet against your Bears and just throw those Giants?
Yeah, that's what I was actually about to say that.
Because that sweetens it up quite a bit.
Yeah, that's a tough bet, though.
You think? It is at Soldier Field. Is it Soldier Field now? Or is it something different?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The Giants-Bears game that's the best odds, in my opinion, of a winnable game. Like, look at that. Plus 245? Come on, man.
Well, I mean, what about Indy at Texans?
What about Indy at Texans?
I mean, the Texans just got fucking exposed.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, teams, maybe they respond well. Just remember, dude, Deshaun Watson is a winner, okay? Guy won a Heisman. Okay. Guy won a national championship.
Just saying, it's a Thursday night game. It would coincide with
Jacoby Brissett is going to come in there.
Where we became disappointed immediately.
Yeah, let's like.
We didn't have to wait until Sunday.
I'm not agreeing on that game, so no. Just throw it out. It's Claymaw's okay with betting against the Bears. You're not. I don't understand. What
you found respect. Okay. All right. Let's take the Giants in this. What does that yield?
Let's do this. Redoing.
And I'm only agreeing because of the odds. I don't like the odds of the Colts and over the Texans. Like that's
I like the odds of just betting against the Bears. Just in general, you know what I mean?
Okay. So the parlay. So we got Giants, Browns, Saints, Falcons, Titans, Packers. I got that right? That's a six-teamer. 150. Oh, yeah. That yields $4,000. 4177. That's bankroll building money, you know?
That's a six-teamer. And that's with a five or six-team parlay.
That's Giants. That's 150 for 4177.
All right, I just Venmo'd you 50.
Well, did you guys write anything down in preparation for fantasy, or no?
I wrote the word LeSean McCoy over and over and over again.
I actually don't have nothing because my team is kicking everybody's ass. Oh,
Fuck it. Let's play some Call of Duty.
Hell yeah. Except. We'll be right back.